Book of James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Is anybody too hot? Just thought I'd check. Nice, we've got the heater going. So. James chapter 1, I want to read down to verse 25, from starting in verse 1, James chapter 1, and down through to verse 25, starting in verse 1, James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. All right, I want to try and read now for our Karen folk, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, and verse 23, and this is what it says in the Karen Bible. Romi asa du hu asa por ki si thur ari di e tadeba abu ele mitathi lo mimi you are a tahi ni Mi damu, atu a you, le bergesa, yishu kri, a holy law, ni law. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for our time this morning that we can share together. And Lord, what a great hymn of victory it is, Lord. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Father, I trust that there's no one here this morning that does not have that assurance of salvation and of heaven one day. Lord, if there is, I pray that this morning something would be said, that you would take the word of God, apply it to their hearts, and bring to the place of rest and trust in Christ as their Saviour this morning. The blood of Christ Jesus has power to save. May that be the case this morning. Father, for God's people, that we might not just be hearers, but doers of thy word, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful chapter, chapter 1 of James. There's many, many truths there concerning tests and trials, some good advice about being swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. But I want us to particularly focus on verse 22 and that group of words there, but be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. That's the theme of our message this morning. Be ye doers of the word. In other words, be obedient to God's word. In verse 21, James says this, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word, or the implanted word, that word which has been sown in your heart and life. He says, receive that with meekness. Receive it with humility of heart and mind. Receive the engrafted word. And there are different ways that people respond to the word of God. Have a look in Matthew chapter 13, because there the Lord Jesus speaks about the sower. The sower goes out to sow the seed, and he uses that to teach us some spiritual truths. In Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says there in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together under him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So there's a great multitude of people hearing the Lord Jesus. And he tells them this story about a sower who went out to sow the seed. In other words, they didn't have the machinery we had today. They would go out and they would, you see pictures of them with baskets or large bags, and they would go out and they would cast out, or they would sow the seed as they went out. And so the Lord tells about this sower who went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside. We would say maybe on the on a path. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And so here's the sower. He goes out, as it were, he would throw some seed out. It landed on the pathway there, and the birds came and just ate it up before it could do anything. And then there was another lot of seed. He went out and it was on some stony ground, but there was a little covering of soil. And so initially it would send down some roots and appear to be doing okay. Then verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And so this seed that goes where the shallow ground is, there's no root to it, there's no substance to it, and so the sun burns it off. He goes on in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. You ever seen that happen? You ever planted any garden at any time and planted seeds? One of the amazing things about planting a garden, and I'm talking now vegetable garden, you can dig the garden and you can rake it and have it all clean and not a weed in sight, and you put the seeds in, maybe just a row of seeds, and then give it a few days and the seeds begin to come up, but all of a sudden there's other seeds you hadn't planted coming up. And before long you've got just a massive growth there. And if you're not careful, before long all those other weeds and stinging nettles, everything, will crowd out all the other seeds. They grow very well. The best thing is to pull those other weeds out to give those that you want to grow opportunity to grow. But the Lord says some of these seeds that the sower threw out grew amongst thorns, and the thorns grew up and they crowded out that growth. And then he says in verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said others, though, as that seed went out, it landed some good, fertile ground. Maybe it had been dug well and all that kind of thing, and it was all ready to go, and the seed went in there, and up it came, and there was a good response from the seed. There was some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The Lord says, now if you've got ears to hear, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you telling them these stories? Why are you illustrating spiritual truths with these earthly stories? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. So there's a reason for it. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them. All right, go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He said, what I was picturing for you there when I said the sower went out, he threw some seed that went on the path there and it didn't grow at all. The birds came. He said, that's like the person who they hear the word of God and the devil comes along and says, don't believe that, don't take a notice of that, you don't have to worry about that, do it some other time, whatever it is. And the devil comes away and he plucks away the word that was sown for those people. He said, now there are others. Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed in the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by it he is offended. So there are those who hear the word of God. They say, oh boy, how good's that? Within a short time, there's pressures come against them. There's persecution, tribulation, whatever it is. They're offended. They're gone. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Here's someone else. They hear the word of God. They say, yes, that's what I need to do. That's for me. But then what happens? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. And they've got good intentions and they mean to do something, but they're caught up in the affairs of this world, the events of this world, and they're caught up maybe with trying to make that extra dollar, the deceitfulness of riches, all those things, and that chokes out the word of God. The Lord said, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Right, the Lord Jesus said, but there is another kind of person who hears the word of God and they receive it and they get about doing what God tells them to do and they bring forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Back to James. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive the meek with meekness, with humility. This is God's word. I intend to be that good ground. I'm not going to be the hard ground. I'm not going to be the stony ground. I'm not going to be the ground that has the thorns which choke out the word. I'm going to be the good ground. I'm going to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save my soul. And so I hear the word of God, whether it's through preaching or teaching, whether it's in my own personal reading of the word of God, I hear it and I receive it and I'll bring forth fruit. And then James sounds a warning in the next verse, verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers, not hearers only. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, he said, you need to take heed what you hear, what you listen to, what you hear. He said in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he said, take heed how you hear. How do we hear the word of God this morning? How do we respond to what James is telling us? How do we hear it? Do we receive it and we say, yes, Lord, that's for me. I'm going to do what you tell me. Or do we just hear it and that's all? Just go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Heard of that before. Yep, yep, yep. Know about that. Yep, yep, yep. Heard that. Yep, yep, yep. And whatever. And we hear it, but that's all. We don't do any more than just hear it. We come in, we go through our little bit of religion, we have a little bit of our church for Sunday morning, and then we off we go to the rest of the week. We've heard it, but that's no different. That doesn't change us. It doesn't. We don't go out desiring to serve the Lord. We don't go out with a greater burden for the lost. We don't go out desiring to get victory in our life. We don't go out with a greater desire to live a holy life. We don't do any of that. We just hear it and we go out and we're unchanged. Nothing's different from when we came here. That's what James is warning about. Not just hearers only. Be ye doers, he says. The idea of be there, the word be, it's in this written in this way, if we could use this tense, be continually doers. When James says there, we could put there, be continually ye doers. This James says this is to be ongoing. We are to be continually doers of the word. Now, someone who is a doer of the word is someone who is obedient to the word of God. When God speaks to us through something in his word, we say, yes, Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and we're obedient. And so the doers of the word. And the doers of the word has this idea as well. This is something that they are. It's not only that they do it, but it's something that they are. It's something intrinsic about them. Some Christians you look at and you can tell they're doers of the word. Just what they are. They're doers of the word. Others you look at and you just shake your head. Say they keep hearing it, they keep hearing it, but they are not doing it. And so James says, here's what we're to be. We're to be continually the kind of people who are doers of the word. When people look at us, they say, there's someone who is a doer of the word. They don't look at us and say, oh, well, you know, they were there Sunday, but I don't know what they were there for. It didn't seem to make much difference to them. They're still doing the same old things, still in the same old rut. And nothing's changing. So it's not only being obedient, but it's being continually obedient to the point where that is what we are. We are doers of the word. It's interesting, you have a look in the Old Testament and you can see it right through the scriptures, this emphasis on being doers. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and there God speaks to the children of Israel. They're preparing to go into the promised land, and God's given them some commandments and some laws. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, 2 and 3, and then the Lord gives them some instruction after that about loving God and doing those things. But he starts out initially in this chapter by saying this, Deuteronomy 6:1, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your commanded to teach you, that you might, notice this, do them in the land whither you go to possess it. In other words, God says, I haven't given it just for the sake of giving it to you. When you get into the land, then do what I tell you. And I put a red circle around the word do there in that verse. Then in the next verse, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes. In other words, again, to be doers. Again, I circle that. We're to keep all God's statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. All, notice how long we're supposed to be doers. All the days of thy life. And that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe, notice this, to do it. Again, I circle that, to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey, but that can change if we're not doers of the word. As individuals, our lives can be flowing with milk and honey, but if we're not doers of the word, if we're not continually, be ye doers, if we're not that by attitude and by manner of life, then that milk and honey can run out. God can take that away. John chapter 15, And again, I just selected that one out of the Old Testament and just one out of the New Testament, John chapter 15. And we could spend probably all morning looking at verses that emphasize, but do what I tell you. John 15 and the verse 14, the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples, to those he's with, he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So when we hear the word of God, we're not to be selective. Oh, well, that'd be good for someone else. That'd be good for Fred. That'd be good for my auntie, if only she was here this morning. And that would be good for that fellow. He's a terrible backslider, and he needs to be here to hear that. If only he'd heard that this morning. All that kind of stuff. And we're selective in how we hear. We've always got, yeah, it's a great message for Fred. That's a great message for Mary. That'd be a great message for my grandfather if he was alive. And on it goes. But the Lord Jesus said, "Yeah, my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." So this obedience that James speaks of, this doing, is doing all that God commands us to do. Not being selective. Not just, I'll do this because it suits me, and I'll do that because I'd like that. I'll do that because that'll impress someone. No, to do whatsoever he commands us. So we come back and see in James, "But be ye doers of the word." Now, what happens if we're doers of the word? Then if we're doers of the word, we shall be blessed by God. Verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer," notice, "but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So if we're doers of the word, God will bless us. That's real simple, isn't it? You say, "Well, I knew that." Good. Well, make sure you now do all whatsoever the Lord commands you so that God can bless you. What hinders blessing? Disobedience. Not being doers of the word. And so the doers are blessed. Have a look in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And you'll see the same thing. That it's the doers who are blessed. And that's why I'm saying this morning, that's the emphasis of our message this morning, to be doers of the word. In Joshua chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8, he says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And so there's some aspects there concerning the word of God. Notice what he says, "that thou mayest observe to do," and again I've circled that, "to do according to all," I've underlined that, "is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says, "I want to bless you. I want you to be blessed. But you have to not only hear my word, but you have to be a doer of all that I tell you to do." God's not interested in us deciding what we think we ought to do. God's very interested in us in doing all that he asks us to do. "Yeah, my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." And so the doer will be blessed, though. He says, "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, we all want to be successful. God says, here's how you do it. Be a doer of my word. Be a doer, not just a hearer. And so back in James, James says there that that person who is a doer shall be blessed in his deed. Notice the early part of the verse, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." Now he's speaking there about the word of God, the perfect law of liberty. Sounds unusual, doesn't it? We think, well, a law means some kind of a bondage, something we're not allowed to do, some kind of a law. But God calls his word the law of liberty. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the perfect law of liberty. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." There is the law of God which brings liberty to our lives, doesn't bring bondage. Well, you know, God says you can't do that. Well, just don't do it if he says you can't do it. Well, God says I should be doing that. Well, do it if he tells you to do it. It'll bring liberty. It'll bring freedom to your life. Oh, yeah, but there's certain things that, yeah, that's the problem. You see, we hear it and we don't do it. And then we wonder why we don't have tremendous liberty and freedom in our lives. We're under bondage. We are struggling at times because we will not do what God tells us to do. And therefore, when the perfect law of liberty is not able to set us free. You see, the truth sets us free. It doesn't. I wish I could just kind of yell and jump and scream and shout that. The truth sets us free, amen? The law of God does not bring bondage, it brings freedom. The perfect law of liberty in Christ sets us free. But just not being hearers only. Remember in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers only. Why not? Because he says you'll deceive yourself. If you're not a doer of the word, but only a hearer, then you will deceive yourself. You'll come in this morning, you'll hear all I've said, nothing will be changed because you're determined to do what you want to do. You will not be a doer, you're only a hearer, and so nothing will change. And you've deceived yourself into thinking, so everything's still okay, because nothing's changed. Deceived. See, if we're not doers, then hearers only, we deceive our own selves. Verse 23 and 4, James gives us some illustration of that. He says, here's what it's like for someone who hears but doesn't do what I tell him to do. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He said, here's what people like who hear the word of God but do not do it. They walk up to a mirror. They look into the mirror and walk away and straight away forget what they saw. That's what you normally do, don't you? You look in the mirror, yep, and away you go. Forgot all about that. Now we move on. James says, that's what believers like who are hearers and not doers. Like the person who walks up, looks in the mirror, yep, see you later. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, see, the word of God is to be like that mirror. And you and I know the truth of that, because when we look into that mirror of the word of God, we see ourselves as we really are. And God says, now having seen yourself as you really are, be a doer, not a forgetful hearer, like in the physical realm. You've heard what your situation is, you know what it is, now go and do it. Be ye doers of the word. You know, many people are deceived about salvation. Many people deceived about salvation. They hear. It amazes me. It shocks me. I've said to my wife sometimes, it amazes me how people can hear the gospel, and still say, I'm okay, and yet they're not saved. It's amazing. They think because they do a few good things here and there, they think because they try and live a good life or whatever it is, they think because they're in church that they must be saved and God will accept them. And yet when they hear the preaching of the gospel, that they're sinners, they need to repent of their sin, they need to turn from their wicked ways, they need to acknowledge that they've wronged God, they've sinned against God, they've sinned against their fellow man. They're just sinners and lost and undone, and the only way of salvation is through Christ, his death, burial and resurrection, the fact that he died for their sins, rose again the third day. They hear that and they hear it and they don't respond because they think they're okay. They think they're doing all right. Hey, I'm not a bad person. I was talking to someone during the week and they said to me, I said, look, we're all sinners. You know, you say you want some answers. Yeah, I want some. Why do you think I've been asking you questions? I want some answers. I said, good. I said, the answer is this, that we're all sinners, first of all. I said, well, let me tell you. I've never raped a woman. I've never murdered anybody. So I bashed a few people, but Haven't got it yet. Haven't got it yet. They think because there's certain sins they haven't done that they're okay. Doesn't matter, they bashed a few people and all the other things they've done. There's a couple they haven't done that makes them okay. What have they done? A person like that. They hear it and they deceive themselves into thinking some things I haven't done, so it can't be that bad. Must be in there with a chance. God will probably look at me favourably one day. You know, we spoke to an old man yesterday. Tried to share the gospel with him. He didn't want to know anything about it. He said, no. He said, I'm glad for what you're doing. It's good what you're doing. He said, but yeah, you know, did you think what happens when you die? He said, listen, it's all right. I'm okay. It'll be all right. It'll work out for me. He's deceived himself. You talk to the man, he's lived a very, very hard life, as in a working life. Been shearing for 45 years. Get up at some morning there, drive 60 miles to the shearing shed, shear 140 sheep, go back home 60 miles, get on the tractor, drive the tractor 2 o'clock in the morning, get a couple of hours sleep, get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, or whatever time he gets up, 4 o'clock, drive 60 miles, shears 140 sheep, comes back, and thinks that's going to impress God somehow. Deceived himself. Deceived himself. The Lord Jesus spoke of people who deceive themselves in Matthew chapter 7. Have a look there, Matthew chapter 7. And these are good religious people the Lord Jesus is talking about now. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not everybody. But he that, what does he say? He that doeth the will of my Father. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Only those that do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? Well, what did Paul say there on the Mars Hill? He said, God, the times that ignorance winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. If you're going to be in the kingdom, you have to repent. You won't be in the kingdom if you don't repent. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't repent, you won't be there. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Are these religious people, these good people, these righteous people are going to say to God, look what we did. But they've deceived themselves because they think that being religious or being spiritual in some way is going to impress God and he's going to let him into heaven. No, no. The Lord Jesus said, he that doeth the will. You can cast out devils till the day you die and still go to hell. You can prophesy in God's name until the day you die and still go to hell. You can do many mighty works in the Lord Jesus' name and die and go to hell one day if you don't do the will of the Father, which is to repent of your sin and put faith and trust in Christ. And what did the Lord say? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Here's these religious people, these good people, these spiritual people who are doing things in the Lord's name, and he says, I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity. You see, a lot of people are deceived about salvation. They think that some kind of works is going to get them saved. But Paul made it very clear, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Deception. So James says what? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now he's talking here to believers. He's not talking to the unsaved person. Same thing applies to them. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we deceive ourselves in a lot of different ways. One way we deceive ourselves is this. You go and talk to someone about a particular scripture and you say, look, you know, here's this verse here and these are these passages here. And you know what they'll say? Well, I don't agree with your interpretation. Oh. Why not? They don't say this because it doesn't suit me. That's what they're thinking. It doesn't suit me, that one. And so I don't agree with that interpretation. Well, that's a way we can deceive ourselves. I don't agree with that interpretation. You know, another way that we can deceive ourselves is we think we hear the word of God, we hear the preacher get up and say, listen, let me tell you, if you make any provision for the flesh, then sooner or later you're going to be full, you're going to fall, and your fall will be great if you're not careful. And we say, but it won't happen to me. It wouldn't happen to me. I'm in control of these things. I mean, it's all good. Don't worry about it, Pastor. The Lord Jesus said, make not provision for the flesh. Abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5. Do those things. And we say, hey, it's all right. It won't happen to me. Well, what did Paul say to the Galatians? He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, we deceive ourselves. We think, well, I heard what the pastor said. And here's one of the other things we do. Yes, I agree. Yeah, look, I shouldn't be doing that, or I should be doing that. And I'm going to change. But we forget to say immediately. But I'm going to change. But I'll just have a little bit more fun. And then I'll change. Yeah. You know what happens in the book of Ezekiel? We're looking at Ezekiel. My wife and I are reading through Ezekiel at the moment. And it talks about the people there in chapter 16. And it says they have an insatiable desire to do that which was wrong. What's that mean? It means they just wanted more and more and more. And so the person who's a hearer of the word, who listens to what the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh, but says, I'll make a little bit of provision, I'll have a little bit of fun, but what they've done, they've created an appetite, and that appetite will consume them if they're not very, very careful. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Make no provision for the flesh. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And so we deceive ourselves. We think, it wouldn't happen to me. Young ladies out there today carrying babies, because they thought it wouldn't happen to them. Just have a little bit of fun, that's all. Deceive ourselves. We can be like King Saul. We do most of what God wants, and therefore we think that'll be okay. And we know the story well of Saul, how Samuel had told him he was going to meet him at a certain place. And he told Saul, you want to go out and you need to kill all the Amalekites. God has given you that job to do. And he comes back and he's got some livestock with him and he's got the king. And Samuel said, what's happened? He said, oh, well, you know, the people caused this. See, that's a good way to deceive ourselves. We blame someone else. Not my fault, someone else. And Samuel rebuked him and told him that to obey is better than sacrifice. For rebellion is a stubbornness and wickedness. And so Saul could say, well, I was about 95%, maybe 96% obedient, I reckon. And God says, that's 4 or 5% too short. You knew what I told you to do, and you were not a doer of the word. And so, Saul, the kingdom is taken away from you. Done. Remember, the person who's the doer gets blessed. The other person doesn't. And so I did most of what God wanted me to do. Others will deceive themselves by saying, well, I've asked God to take it away, but he hasn't taken it away yet. So I'll just keep in that old sin there. And just keep sinning and keep sinning. And one day God will take it away. I know he will, because I've asked him to. But in the meantime, I'm just waiting for him to take it away. Well, that's a deceived person. To be doers of the word. Don't make provision for the flesh or whatever it is. And then others will say, well, it can't be that bad. God hasn't convicted me yet. You know, as if God has to come and hit us on the head every time we did something wrong. Like, boing! Yes, God, I'm convicted about it. God says, I've said it, that's enough. I don't have to hit you. I don't have to bring some drama. I don't have to do anything like that. I've said it, now do it. Don't just hear it. But sometimes we go, well, God hasn't convicted me. That's convenient, isn't it? And so we deceive ourselves. We're not doers, we're hearers only. And other people will say, when you talk to them about certain aspects, they say, well, but you don't understand, though. You don't understand. Well, they're right. I don't understand too much at all. But I do understand some things. I understand this, that doers of the word shall be blessed, but hearers only won't be. I understand that much. You don't understand. And then we deceive ourselves because we make our decision. We hear the word of God. We hear it say, make no provision for the flesh. But then we go out and we listen to some of that dirty rock music because why? Because someone else does it. Okay? That's what happens. And so we go, well, make no provision for the flesh. You say, what's rock music got to do with the flesh? Everything. Everything. Wake up and smell the roses. Just a little bit of thought will tell you that rock music is from the devil. You say, but this is different. This is Christian rock music. It's still from the devil. You say, that's not popular. I know. And guess what? It's becoming less popular. Independent Baptist Church across this land, one by one, are falling for this stupid, wicked CCM rock-based music. You say, that's not popular, and you're not going to win a lot of friends. I'm not out to win friends, amen. The lines have been drawn. There are some men who wrote an article, one man wrote an article here in the national paper that goes around pretty much all the independent Baptist churches recently, and there was a situation came up where he was making, without naming anybody, criticism about someone. That man has now come out in public with an open letter and challenged him about it. The lines have been drawn. If you want to say what it is, come around my place, I'll show the letter. It's about 10 pages. It's written in love, very graciously. He's come out, said, I've let this go long enough, and now I'm going to take a stand. And these are good friends of his. He said, I'm taking a stand, and I'm happy to help you if you're willing to hear what God has to say about these things. You know, those who've seen the O. Timothy know that in America there's a big church called Lancaster Baptist Church. Huge, huge ministry. And they are moving into the area of this Christian contemporary music. I listened to a clip of it. It was sent to me yesterday. And it's great. Oh, it's great. It's not heavy metal. It's not grunge. It's not rap. And by the way, all those are in Christian music today. Check it out. It's a very soft rock. But it's rock. Come around and listen to it. I'll send it to you if you like. And there's a trio. Two young ladies and a young man. Dressed immaculately. And but it's soft rock. And you can... See, what do you mean? You know what I mean. That rock beat there. And it's a soft rock. It's not heavy, jarring stuff with good Christian words to it. It's soft rock. And David Cloud asked the man, Graham West, could you make a commentary on it? And he has. He said, it's rock. It's rock. And rock music is from the devil. Check it out, those who started it back in the 50s. It's from the devil. And any church that takes in rock music, be it soft rock, soft ballady rock, whatever it is, they have started on a slippery path which will finish up down the bottom of the hill. Guaranteed. So how do you know? Because there's enough churches who have done it already to know what happens. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying don't deceive yourself by measuring what other people do and saying someone else does it, therefore that's okay for me to do it. You have deceived yourselves if you do that. You say, I kind of like that sort of stuff. Everybody does. Everybody's flesh. Ask Brother Jim, we'll play, but he'll come up here and just show you how to do it. It's great for the flesh. But it's from the devil. It's carnal. It's wicked. And it leads to every other sort of ungodly activity that you can get involved in sooner or later. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You see, I think just the words that count, you are deceived already. The music is the message. Doesn't matter. And even if it was just the words, the music you listen to soon says that stuff in the world's the same, sounds the same. I know the words aren't so good, but I only listen to it for the music. Huh? Now we've just shot ourselves in the foot. We said the music doesn't affect us. I don't listen to the worldly words, I just listen to the music because it makes me feel good. So now we've got another problem. This is a person who's so deceived, they would know up from down. So be careful, be careful, be careful. But you do as the word not. Don't just do things because of what someone else does. And here's how we really deceive ourselves in that area. If you say, well, they're godly people. They're godly people. And they do it. Now, there's a godly man over there. He just buys the odd lottery ticket. And, you know, God hasn't killed him. Must be okay. Oh, there's someone over there. They wear certain clothes. A bit skimpy at times. Not all that modest. But maybe, well, they're godly people. And they listen to that kind of music. And they love souls. That's what I like about them. They love souls. They're out there witnessing all the time. They're still on a slippery slope heading down the gurgler. You say, I don't believe you. That's fine. I'm just telling you what God's word says. What God's word says about those things. When you start not being a doer of the word, but hearing it only, you're on the way down. Folks, you're on the way down if you're not a doer of whatsoever God commands you. If God deals with you about music, then deal with it. Don't say, but I know others who listen to that. I've heard all that argument. It's a self-deception. It's not godly, it's not biblical. Be careful. Be careful. The world, the flesh, and the devil are busy trying to do what? Destroy us. Destroy our testimony, destroy our lives, destroy our families, destroy our church, whatever. You say, but what if these three young people in that big church came here? Would you let them sing that song here? Oh, come on. I'm surprised you'd even ask the question. There is no way. But you look at them, they're sharp. I mean, dressed. The young ladies, nice, modest skirts, and the fellow there in a suit, and just, oh, you'd say this, some godly young people. Let me tell you, they're on a slippery slope, and they're starting to head downhill. James says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And may God help us to be just that. Amen. The idea of the word is what? Be continually obedient. It is what they are. They are doers of the word. May God help you and I to be doers of the word. People look at us and say, those people are doers of the word. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the word of God. We thank you for the perfect law of liberty. Lord, so often we listen to the lie of the devil and he says, Lord, your commandments and laws bring bondage. But in fact, indeed, the truth sets us free. The perfect law of liberty, which is in Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for thy great salvation. We thank you, dear Father, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the instruction is very clear that we're to be doers, not just hearers. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that that's what we would be. Not just that which we do, but that which we are. We are doers of the word of God, not just hearers only. And Lord, how important that is, how needful it is, Lord, for each and every one of us. Father, maybe there's something that's been said this morning from your word that would be a challenge to some of us here this morning, Lord. May we respond, not just with our ears, but with our feet and with our hearts. And we'd say, Lord, I thank you for showing me that this morning. I thank you for challenging me about it. Thank you for encouraging me. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm now going to do what you've pointed out in my life. I'm going to be a doer of your word. And that's going to be a pattern of my life, Lord. By your grace, from now on, I'm going to be a doer of your word, not just a hearer. And maybe someone, Lord, this morning is not saved. They've never repented of their sin. They've heard the word of God. They've heard the gospel, but for some reason, best known to themselves perhaps, they've yet to bow their knee to the Lord Jesus and trust him as Lord and Saviour. Father, if there's anybody like that this morning, I pray that they would not just put off that great moment, but they might be like that man out there in Vanuatu called Richard, Lord, who had a wretched life, but burdened with sin like his father, the chief. And may they bow their knee to Christ and be saved this day. Father, if there's anybody like that, I pray that you would so work in their hearts and lives. Lord, help them before they go today to tell someone, today God spoke to my heart about salvation. I've trusted the Lord Jesus. It's been a definite decision in my heart and mind to trust Christ. I've repented of my ways, my sin, and I've trusted Christ this morning. May God's people, Lord, be doers of the word. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.